Log Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, and feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, a history of violence. Violence appears to be prevalent worldwide as a means of dealing with conflict. It appears to be particularly present in the United States of America. Does the ever presence of violence indicate that man is naturally a violent creature? Is the violence the result of a more complex multitude of variables? The level, degree, and frequency of violence perpetuated is truly shocking. It would be nice, if we were able to talk out our problems in a so-called civil manner. That is what we encourage people to do long before we decide to go to blows or bombs. Somehow, violence appears to be the response or answer to conflict. Violence appears to be very costly in lives, emotions, and finances. Some are able to profit from the flood of violence. Are we time bombs at the ready to be exploded? Are we really monsters who are victims of our Jekyll and Hyde existence? Are we ruled by our most primitive emotions that we mask behind the veil of our so-called civility? Are we the thing that creeps in the night and day? Are some of us simply monsters? What is violence? I just went through all Webster's for our definition of violence for the day. The use of physical force so as to injure, right? Abuse, damage, or destroy. So I'm sure those words do not need any type of definition. To injure, abuse, damage, or destroy. That's what violence is. So the be the movement from these people in the name of peace. The final statistics offer a sobering reminder of the reality of the cost of violence, financial, human, physical, and emotional. So I'm just going to read off some things about violence. And I'm not even going back into history that far, and just talking about present day, like, you know, violence, contemporary times. And we appear to be some very violent, viciously violent people. Violence causes more than 1.6 million deaths worldwide every year. Violence is one of the leading causes of death in all of the world for persons ages 15 to 44. I'm going to read that one more time. Violence is one of the leading causes of death in all parts of the world for persons ages 15 to 44. That's from the World Health Organization report on violence and health. That's something to think about. That's a lot of folks every year. A World Health Organization report estimates the cost of interpersonal violence in the U.S. at more than $300 billion a year. The cost to victims was estimated at more than $500 billion a year. Combined, this is the equivalent to nearly 10% of the country's gross domestic product, the GDP. That's from the Economic Dimensions of Interpersonal Violence from the World Health Organization in 2004. U.S. national violence containment costs are over $1.7 trillion. That's a lot of money. Global Peace Index, $0.7 trillion. So, I mean, you can look at that many ways. That's a lot of money we're spending to contain violence. Or it's a lot of money to be made containing violence. I mean, who knows? In the United States, youth homicide rates are more than 10 times that of other leading industrialized countries. The youth homicide rate in the U.S. stood at 11.0 per 100,000 compared to France, 0.6 per 100,000. That's a big difference right there. Germany 0.8 dollars, and United Kingdom 0.9. We're at 11.0. Okay, Japan is 0.4% 100,000. So, question again is, what's going on in the United States? What's happening in this country that we have such high homicide and rates of aggression? You know, there could be many variables that impact on that. What's going on here that may not be going on in these other countries that we have such a high rate of this? You know, what is it? Where is this coming from? Where could it be coming from? The Bureau of Justice reported in 2010, 25% of women have experienced domestic violence, and 6 million children witness domestic violence annually. 35% of women worldwide, more than one in three, said they experienced violence in their lifetime, whether physical, sexual, or both. 1 in 10 girls under the age of 18 was forced to have sex. That's a UN report on violence against women worldwide. With 1 in 4 women in the United States estimated to become victims of severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that domestic violence caused the U.S. at least 9.05 billion a year. That's a lot of money to be, I mean, you can look at a lot of money spent, a lot of money to be made. I don't know. I like to look at both off sides of the coin. But if you're spending a lot of money on something, that also is an indication there's a lot of money to be made. So research has indicated that investing early to prevent conflicts from escalating into violent crisis is on average 60 times more cost effective than intervening after violence. So it's more, you spend less money with preventive services than you do with containment services or reacting to after the fact of a violent act, a homicide, or assault, and things like that. So preventive services, 60 times more cost effective. You're going to spend less money. That's a lot of money you're going to save, you know, because that was that, $1.7 trillion? It's a lot of money. Containment costs $1.7 trillion. You're going to save 60% of that. So that's a lot. But again, as I said, money spent is also money to be made. Keep that in mind, y'all. Whenever you hear numbers, large numbers about money being spent on anything, that's also money to be made, no matter what they say it is. I don't care if it's incarceration, containment, that's a part of containment, incarceration, all that stuff. Money to be made. So everything's turned into, can be a way for someone to generate money. They say violence related only to paying for police. This is the average. On average, the cost of violence related only to paying for police, justice, corrections, and the productivity effect of violence, crime, homicide, and robbery is $3,253 for each U.S. taxpayer, or $460 billion for the United States economy. That's from the U.S. Peace Index Institute for Economics and Peace. And it's good to know that we have somebody that's trying to do something for peace in terms of, you know, preventive services and things like that. The total cost of violence to the U.S. was conservatively calculated to be over $460 billion, while the lost productivity from violence amounted to $318 billion. California was found to have the highest state burden of violence at over $22 billion per year, while Vermont has the lowest at $188 million. Man, okay, go ahead, Vermont. For state taxpayer, the total economic cost of violence varies greatly from $7,166 per taxpayer in Washington, D.C., to $1,281 for Maine taxpayers. Seems like the higher you go, the less kind of violence you're getting up there. I don't know. We got Vermont and Maine, you know, it's less. I don't know. What are they doing up there? That's from the same people, U.S. Peace Index. So, United States invests more in war than they do in peace. The world spends just $1 on conflict prevention for every 1,885 it spends on military budgets. This is the world. People that just think that the U.S. is the United States are more warmongers. But you can't make war with just yourself. So you got to be some other warmongers out there. So here in the U.S., less than 2% of income tax goes to civilian foreign affairs agencies. Meanwhile, 39% goes to the military. Taxpayers provide almost $1 billion per year for military academies. They pay only about $40 million for United States Institute of Peace. So $1 billion per year for military academies. And $40 million, which is, you can't even compare those two numbers, for the United States Institute of Peace. So what are we? Where's the money going to? The war machine. And if you want peace, you need to invest in it. Not just the U.S., everybody. No need speaking about peace. If you're speaking about peace and you're spending most of your money, most of your effort in the war machine, are you really about peace? That's the question with that. So the only U.S. agency dedicated to conflict prevention and peace building is the United States Institute of Peace. So that's the only agency that they have that that's from the Friends Committee on National Legislation Report, 2011. So back to the violence containment spending in the U.S. from the Institute for Economics and Peace. Violence containment spending encompasses local, state, and federal government expenditure, as well as private spending by corporations, households, and individuals. It includes medical expenses to recover from violence, incarceration, defense and military insurance, alarm systems, the private security industry, homeland security, and the work of the Central Intelligence Agency, that's CIA. Violence containment. IEP research shows that in 2010, the violence containment industry, right, they call it the VCI, accounted for $2.16 trillion, or around 15% of the U.S. GDP. It is estimated that violence containment spending costs $7,000 for every man, woman, and child each year. That is $6 billion a day in total, or $246 million an hour. That's a lot of money there. And we still got a volatile society over here with all this killing and shooting going on. And I'm not even implying that the police should be able to stop every gunshot and every shooting and things. I'm not even implying that, you know, because like I said in the beginning, there are many variables that lead to violence. But it seems that here in the United States, we kind of got that poster boys for violence in terms of, we're not at war here, or are we? You know? Like, what's going on? This is supposed to be a non-wartime. These are violence. It's violence during a non-wartime situation within the United States. This is not even the United States and anybody else. This is just U.S. citizens against U.S. citizens, you know, or people within the borders of the United States. So, let me see. The U.S. violence contaminant spending amounted to $7,000 per year for every man, woman, and child. It's the largest industry, and it would, if violence containment spending were represented as a discrete industry, it would be the largest industry in the U.S. economy. Spend a lot of money to contain violence, larger than construction, real estate, professional services, and manufacturing. Larger than real estate, y'all. Violence containment. If violent containment spending were represented as a discrete national economic entity, it would be the seventh largest economy in the world, only slightly smaller than the UK economy. Y'all heard that? That's how much money spending on violence containment here. That's how much money that's to be made containing violence. Depending on how you want to look at it. And I'm just throwing it out there. Two sides to every coin. That's how much they're spending on it. Not saying it's necessary. Not saying it's cost effective. I'm just saying they're spending a lot of, no, I'm not even saying it. They're saying it. They're saying that, but I'm saying they're spending a lot of money, which means that somebody's making a lot of money. Somebody is making a lot of money somewhere in this process. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay, violence containment spending is four times higher than the national defense budget. So that's almost like we're defending ourselves against ourselves, spending more money to defend ourselves against ourselves, or again, is that how lucrative the violence containment industry is? I don't know. I just see a lot of numbers, and I question, you know, in fact, that's one of the questions I ask when I see a lot of numbers going in a particular direction. Is that money being spent, or is that money being to be made? You know what I'm saying? It's the difference. When you have to spend the money that you cost to be spent to be made, bam, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to create a situation or take advantage of a situation, exploit a situation to make money. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. Public spending on VCI accounts for 4% of the GDP, while private sector spending is 4.2% of the GDP. If federal violence contaminant spending was reduced by 5% each year for 5 years, the $326 billion of saved funds would be sufficient to entirely update the energy grid, rebuild levees, and renew the nation's school infrastructure. Man, we don't want to do that. We want to educate people, everybody. That caused problems. Anyway, the federal government spends more than state and local authorities on the private sector on violence containment spending, over $1.3 trillion, approximately 9% of the GDP in 2010. This is more than the federal government spent on employee and retirement and Social Security pensions, and more than double what is spent on infrastructure in the same year. So that's our roads and the things we were just talking about. We build the levee, energy grids, and all that stuff. Excuse me. So what are we investing, or what is the money being invested in? It sounds like there's a lot of money. I'm just going to put it out there again. Being made in containment of violence. So maybe the conditions, the variables that contribute or facilitate violence in this country are never going away because it feeds this industry. But it's not an industry, we know it. Well, let's just say it feeds it. If it was an industry, it would be the biggest industry in the country. So violence containment, there's a lot of money in that. Follow the money trail, like they said that on a Jackie Chan movie. I was surprised it was even said. Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan were talking about some money. I think with Rush Hour 2, they said follow the money trail. Lead to you. Follow the money trail. It goes back to who's making the money. So very interesting, at least. You got, The private sector spending on violence containment is conservatively estimated to be $605 billion. That's a lot of money, y'all. Shoot. The remaining amount is spent by state and local governments on police, justice, corrections, and other security measures. Hey, can I get some of that? I mean, man, it sounds like I need to open up a prison or somewhere, some kind of facility of containment where we hold people. So provocative thought is just want to throw out here again, you know, to facilitate and perpetuate the condition that encourages violence and to facilitate a solution to deal with the violence would be, again, evil genius. Surely no one is that diabolical or evil. That's like creating a disease that you have an inoculation for. But that's another story. That's another show. But you give them a point. So maybe there is no push, at least economically, to prevent violence. As you see, the money's not being spent in that. More money's being spent in containment and for violent institutions, the military and things like that. And I'm not saying we don't need a military because at this point, it doesn't even matter if you think the United States is the good or the bad guy. They need the military. If they're the bad guy, they need a military to defend themselves. So they're going to need a military is a necessity. If you're right or if you're wrong, you're still going to need a military. So, but I'm going to keep going. The 20th century is one of the most violent periods in human history. The 20th century was one of the most violent periods in human history. An estimated 191 million people lost their lives as a direct result of conflict, as well as over half of them were civilians. So not even just war. Y'all hear that? It's not just people, soldiers fighting each other. You got civilians. So this is from the World Health Organization in 2002. So it said terrorism is on the rise with an almost fivefold increase in fatalities since 9/11. Now, you can just, as far as terrorists, who you consider to be a terrorist, depends on who you are. So that way I'm figuring you from over the West, you from this side of the Atlantic, the people on the other side are the terrorists, you over there, probably think that the people over here are the terrorists, but whatever. In 2013, saw a 61% increase in the number of people killed and terrorist attacks on the Global Terrorist Index. Both of these things were from the Global Terrorist Index. So we some violent folks, and terrorists are using so-called terrorists, right? And I'm not saying that they are or are not terrorists. Maybe to somebody else, they're not terrorists. They're revolutionaries or whatever. I'm just using the language that's being given to me from the Global Terrorism Index, okay? Since the 1960s, 83% of terrorist organizations that ended ceased to operate due to policing or politicization. Only 7% ended due to military intervention. Okay, I guess they're trying to say that the force violence begets more violence. So. And I guess they did some policing. I don't know how that worked. Policing is kind of a violent act, you know, here at least anyway. People getting shot with no guns in the back, running, reaching for your ID, you know. So I wonder how that had that impact on it. Anyway, in the United States, since September 11th, terrorist attacks by anti-government racists and other non-jihadist extremists have killed nearly twice as many people as those by Islamic jihadists. I'm going to read that again. That's from the New America Index. In the United States, since September 11th, terrorist attacks by anti-government racists and other non-jihadist extremists have killed nearly twice as many people as those by Islamic jihadists. Okay? That's a very interesting statistic. More Americans die in gun homicides and suicides every 6 months than have died in the last 25 years in every terrorist attack and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq combined. Again, I'm just going to go back to my opening statement. Are we monsters? Are we time bombs? What is it about, Americans that we, kill? What is it about us? We have a caller, 4804, Mr. Jones.
Hey, what's happening, Colin? How you doing?
What's up, Kenny? Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah, guns and war, big business.
Big business.
Big. Let me tell you something. Let's go back in history. Every war, almost every war. Well, first of all, wars. Everybody know wars are fought over financial gain, land, resources. You know, the
right?
Yes, that's what it is. I mean, like, when we went to Iraq, Iraq didn't do anything. All the CIA evidence pointed to Bin Laden and his boys. But George Bush, the son, saw an opportunity. He took that as an opportunity to go into Iraq and try to take their oil. With the military, they try
right.
to take
That's
the
what
oil,
they do, right?
And they burn all the oil fields up. It was an unsuccessful mission. So guns is big business, man. I mean, weaponry. I mean, our attitude towards life have to be questioned. I mean, let's look at it. What type of mind will invent a mechanism to destroy another human being? Mr. Cole, Mr. Smith, Mr. Wesson. what's the two names? You know, I mean, what type of minds, man, that you invent a mechanism to destroy another human being?
Mass murder. Gatling, Mr. Gatling.
Yeah, Mr. Gatlin, don't forget it. Woo! The Gatlin rifle, boy, machine. Anyway, another big business is, don't you know that the Department of Correction have a seat on the stock exchange?
Oh, seat on the stock? What?
Yes, the DOC.
Oh, yeah, hey, $1.7 trillion a year, they probably do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of this containment.
And let me tell you something. It's a new caste system. You know, they make the economy so difficult where you have to struggle, then you make a negative decision to be involved in negative activities, and they take you away from the community, take away from the family, and put you somewhere underground. Because a lot of master security now, they build it underground, like the one in Colorado, where John Guy right. went. You know,
how far underground is that?
I don't know. I don't know. And you got to remember, it's 2 million of us. 2 million of us are inmates. So you really, they making money. They still making money off of our backs. Today, 2018, whether it's probation, parole, or any supervisory program from the criminal justice system, they making money.
Containment, right.
Like you said, trillions. So, yes, there's a lot of behaviors. I mean, it's too bad that we really don't live by the definition of democracy. It's too bad in the Constitution You know, they really don't live by the Constitution. And people forget, you know, it's my constitutional right. Well, let's look at the founding. Y'all always want to talk about the founding fathers. Who were the founding fathers? For whom does the Constitution represent for the founding fathers? Because at that time, when they developed the Constitution, we were considered chattel.
That's right.
So I don't think the Constitution was meant for us. I mean, now, yeah, we can question the Constitution and say you're taking our rights. Hey, amen. That's what it's all about. Money. The bottom line.
Wow.
You know, I found out the other, you know why? How many people we have on this earth?
What is it? Is it 7?
42 billion. 42 billion?
No, it's 7. It's like 7, ain't it? Like 7? 7
okay.
point something?
Anyway. Okay. You know how many billionaires we have on the earth?
How many who?
Billionaires.
Oh, billionaires? No, how many?
Yes. 1,200. I mean, 1,200.
Man. That's not a lot.
Man, that's 0.00000 of the population, man. And these are the people that are controlling the politicians. These are people that are controlling the political. You know, the Koch brothers give money to the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party.
Hey, that's right.
You know? And like...
Two sides of every coin.
Yeah, and that's it. Imbalance, you know, that's an imbalance. And also there are certain societies, man, that prevent people from making a living, including
right.
on our motherland and in our communities.
Right.
1,200 billionaires and there's 7 billion people on this earth. Take a look at that. Numbers don't lie. Numbers never lie.
Ah,
so I really,
So you're saying that it's no coincidence that the conditions that contribute, facilitate, and perpetuate violence continue to exist because there's a lot of money to be made. Are you saying that? Because I was insinuating that throughout my reading.
Yes.
That's not a coincidence. That's evil genius.
It's not.
But just
yes. And you know, they always talk about moral values. They always talk about character. What type of character and moral values do you have where you want the rest of the population on earth to submit to your needs and your wants? 200 billionaires, brother. That's less than 1%.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, yes, there are a lot of people who live comfortable, and have careers. Yeah, I understand.
Right.
Now, they say that this person said this is the greatest country on earth. Yes. If we got so many rich resources in this country, why we got homelessness?
That's collateral damage.
You know,
homelessness all
then,
over the world, and these billionaires don't have boundaries. They don't have the same borders that we had. You're a billionaire. You're not just stuck in the United States.
No, you're not. They probably own islands. They probably got an island like that guy that owned the airline Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
He owns an island. He owns an island. You know how much we have to own an island?
We still stuck at the house thing. Owning a house and a car,
yeah.
We stuck there.
Yeah.
And, that's what we're dreaming about.
I think we got to reevaluate. We got to reevaluate or reassess our whole thinking. But I think it's too late for that. And the way we're going, it's going to get worse before getting better. You know, maybe the millennials could do something with it. Maybe millennials could do something with the. Forget, I didn't even talk about the injustice. I'll talk about the economic imbalance, man. You know, you got a few people that own everything while everybody. Come on. You know, so we really got to take a look at it. I mean, I don't have nothing against anyone being rich or prosper. I don't have anything against that. What I do have a problem with, when you profit by having them.
You're gaining someone else's loss, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a great problem.
So, yeah, call. I'm going to give you a call this week, man. All right?
All right.
I just wanted to say that to your listening audience, you know, and say that, I mean, we really got to take a look at it, you know, so. And really for us, African-Americans, we really got to take a look. Where do we lie in all this structure? Do we really want to be a part of that custom, I should say, lifestyle? Or do we want to have our own or something different?
You know, but I tell you what we are really a part of. We're really a part of the containment process. We're really a part of the homicide process. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did we really want to be there? Did we want to be numbered there? Because that's what we numbered at. That's what we at the top at, percentage-wise.
Yeah, but, you know, like, okay, yes, you know, but we got to look at the reason why and we really got to define what is causing us to turn on each other. It's because of the dollar or it just like stress will trigger negative behavior. Not being able to do, they say, oh, get education, but you didn't graduate. You know, get a job, you know,
right.
But you don't have any skills. I mean, so it's the struggle of broken families, you know, foster care system, you know, group homes, juvenile detention centers. You know, the reason why I'm saying
what about
that,
a broken economy.
Broken, at least in our neighborhoods.
Right, a broken economy will contribute to a lot of emotional stress and depression.
Yes.
Right there, and self-esteem issues. What I can't I can't work and make, I steal and take.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's how we got the mafia.
Hey.
That's how they got the mob. Hey, man, a lot of them started out, you know, trying to do it the right way, the honest way. They couldn't catch a break, and boom, they said, well, I'm going to take it, man.
We're going to do our thing, right? Right?
Right.
Our family, right? Our thing.
You know? Yeah.
And so maybe somebody figured that out and said, hey, look, if we oppress them, we can generate their behavior, their actions, into more money by containing them.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll help them out a little bit. We're going to give them, put some flood to communities with guns and drugs.
Yes. All right, and you got to remember,
we can make money.
Man, let's look at this. I hate to go historical, you know. In Vietnam, the pre-Vietnam era, was there a problem with heroin in our community? I mean, people were doing heroin, but was there a crisis?
No.
Now, during the Vietnam era. And right after the Vietnam era, when the soldiers came home, did we have a heroin crisis?
You had a heroin epidemic.
Yeah, epidemic.
Off the jail you went.
That's right.
Off the prison you went.
And it stabilized during the 70s, the high rise. Now, look at this. Who's in office when crack hit the streets? Who's the president?
Was that Reagan?
Yes.
Who was that?
Ali North, Reagan, Bush Senior was the vice president. And all, and you know what? Ali North took the fall for Ronald Reagan and George Bush Senior, spent a year in a country club, came out, but no, you wrote a book while he was in the country club, came out,
right.
Became United States Senator.
How is that possible?
I thought, hey, let me tell you, he wasn't bringing over no 42 kilos. He was bringing all airplanes and submarines full of cocaine and flooded the West Coast. And that's how the Crips and the Bloods changed their whole philosophy. It was before the gang were protecting their neighborhood. Now we're just making money by any means necessary. Now, we're in another opiate crisis.
Right.
Most of the opiate come from Afghanistan. What have we been doing in Afghanistan for the past 15 years?
You know what? I don't know. What are they doing in Afghanistan?
It feels
like much is happening there.
Hey, we still over there. None of the soldiers
came,
but I think we got about 20,000 soldiers over there, 20,000. I mean, it's not too much violence, but they have little skirmishes. Yo, we got it's you know, I don't want to be labeled as a conspiracy theorist. I'm just looking at the facts. This is what happened.
Throw it out there. That's all
and,
right.
And this is the results. It's the results of our involvement to whoever. Because I don't know too many brothers that own poppy fields. Like, let me tell you something. Oh, wow. With 60 Minutes, retired general. He had a company in Afghanistan. They said, when they first hit the dirt, man, these these poppy farmers were poor, riding mules and everything. It was because most of the heroin came from the Far East.
Right.
They said after 2 years, 2 or 3 years being involved, now these cats are living in mansions, having their own planes. All this, come on, where are they getting from? We have an epidemic right here in the United States. And also, they have an epidemic in Iran. That was on Vice. Yeah, they got a lot of heroin but this has always been historical. You know, that's the reason. The United States always wanted to get in the drug business.
Right.
And like you said, collateral damage. Hey, all these pharmaceuticals making trillions of dollars
right.
off the backs of people paying, literally.
And then they get to make the $1.7 trillion in containment.
Yeah.
So they still get money on both ends, coming and going.
All right, Carl, man, I'm going to let you go, man. I got to get back to work.
Oh, all right, Kenny, thanks for calling in.
All right.
All right, brother. Peace. So there you have it, see? This brother Kenny giving his spill on the benefits of payment and from whence came the some of the issues that caused people to need to be contained. people come to the conclusion that we need to contain these people because they're out of control. That's why you contain things. You contain things because they are out of control. But what's contributing to this out of control behavior is some of the things that he was talking about, the drugs, you know, the use of drugs and the sale of drugs. And both of those things cause out of control behavior and violence, drug use and drug sale. Okay, you know, we all know that. So in 2005, 5,686 young people died, ages 10 to 24. That's an average of 16 each day. That's from the Youth Violence Facts at a Glance. More Americans have died from guns in the United States since 1968 than on the battlefield of all the wars in American history. More Americans have died from guns in the United States since 1968 than in all the wars in American history. You know, wars, when everybody has a gun, airplanes flying over you, mines, boats shoot guns, boats, what else? Airplanes shooting guns, whatever. Artillery and stuff like that. They say more Americans. We ain't talking about Americans using they did use some planes to kill some people in America a couple of times, but this was not a conventional war. From PolitiFact.com, they said with less than 5% of the world's population, United States has nearly 25%, 2.3 million of its prisoners. All right. So that says containment is money. They're saying war is money. Well, apparently war, conflict in within the boundaries of the United States also generates money also. You understand what I'm saying? Well, with less than 5% of the population, the United States has nearly 25%, 2.3 trillion of its prisoners. The San Francisco Chronicle, right, says that in 2011. So what that's saying is that war, again, is money. And as you know, we're spending more money on the war machine and containment machine than we're spending on prevention. So we need to look more towards prevention. And I'm not trying to say that the United States government has sole responsibility to prevent crime and murders and homicides and things like that, because each individual each of us as individuals have a responsibility. Not to take the life of someone else if you don't have to. You're not in a situation. You have a responsibility not to do that. Not to do that because you're angry. Not to do that because you're jealous. Not to do that because you don't want to go to jail and you're taking something from them. You know, we don't have the right to take anybody's life. Not to recklessly charge a firearm in a crowd of people where people can get hurt, or just down the street where somebody else can get hurt. You know what I'm saying? You know, we don't have the right to do that, to cause people to die untimely. And that would be untimely death. You're sitting on your porch and somebody's shooting at somebody else, whether they deserve it or not, but your daughter or your baby son, your husband, your wife, your grandmother gets struck by the bullet. You know, direct expenditures for corrections, prisons and jails by local, state, and federal governments between 1982 and 2005 increased 619% to $65 billion per year. So there's money in war and there's containment. American children are 14 times as likely to die from guns as children in other developed countries. Not under, other. That's from Private Guns, Public Health, David Hemingway, University of Michigan Press. According to the Bureau of Justice, the number of people under some form of correction supervision in the U.S. grew from 200,000 people in 1980, right? That shit crack cocaine, like, years started with almost 7 million in 2014. So you can look at that. You know, there's a correlation between that number and the cocaine and crack era. more than 2.7 million children had a parent in jail or prison in 2009. That's 3.6% of all kids in the U.S. Population from 0.8% in 1980, up from 0.8% in 1980. So that's 3.6%, which is up from 0.8% in 1980. So as the brother was saying, you know, we have a serious problem here. And there's a lot of things that, a lot of variables that contribute to it. But it appears that someone is taking advantage of these variables and exploiting them, or contributing to the variables and making money off of it. We appear to live in a very violent society, world, historically, prehistorically, if you want to go back even farther. I just kept it in contemporary times today. But we appear to be a very, very violent species, you know? So, I mean, what's going on? What is it about us that, you know, someone has to die? You know, what's going on? Now, I could go on with more things to speak on these situation, but we don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to really get into some of these other things that I had researched. But we apparently are very, very violent species. We usually normally look at things like the lions, tigers, and, you know, crocodiles and, you know, things like, oh, the monsters and things like that. But when you take a deep look at us, we appear to be monsters, at least some of us. Enough of us to say we need to take a look at ourselves, because we are appear to be a very volatile species. Is there another way that we can live on the planet? I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I want to thank the creator, my parents, and the listeners, people who called in. I want to say stay tuned next week for Provocative Thought PT with Carlton Steed. Each one reach one, each one teach one. And remember, stay tuned next week.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.